And joining us now on Static this evening, it is a pleasure and a privilege to be sitting down with Johnny Marr. Welcome back to Australia, Johnny.
It's nice to be here.
It's taken a long time for you to not only come back, but also come back with your name on a band and a record.
Yeah, quite a few people have asked me why it's taken so long, and the short answer is that I've been more than happy to do what I've been doing, you know, the last 10 years or so. Being in there was a total privilege for me, and I enjoyed being in a band with Bernard Sumner. It wasn't so much a band as a, I hate using the word project, I don't know what it was, electronic, it was like an arrangement, like an arranged marriage. It was a 24 hours every day, 9-year relationship. It was kind of unlike people's idea of it. I spent more time with Bernard than anybody else in my life. So that was great fun, and the collaborations I've been doing have been, you know, interesting, and with people I really admire. So it's not like I've been kind of waiting to get my own band together or anything. It just kind of happened when it happened, you know.
So it wasn't always a given that you'd make a record under your own name, or especially that you'd want to sing on a record, John?
It was never a given that I'd sing for certain, but I knew that I would make a record under my own name at some point. And as the years went on, I was starting to think, well, maybe I might just do some bugged out kind of electronic weird or instrumental weird guitar album. But something in me felt that if the right gang appeared, then I'd get involved.
So to that end then, did you need to have some distance between, say, the Smiths and doing a solo record, because it might have been weighed down by comparisons? Like, did you feel it might have been easier to make a wigged out or bugged out electronic record rather than have to do a guitar band again?
Do you know, if I'd have formed a band straight after the Smiths, I would have tried to make it sound as much like the as was possible, because the was my favourite band in the world.
Well, it's fortunate then you ended up joining them, wasn't it?
So that worked out really, really well. And and then after, you know, a few years of being in a city where there was a revolution in technology and a revolution in music and a revolution in fashion and a revolution in drugs and club culture, to being a band making music, pop music, with technology and with fashion and with clubs and with drugs, and with Bernard Sumner, was the right step for me to go as well. So I see everything I've done as really being able to do what the hell I like when I want, really. So it's very kind of convenient.
Okay. So the things that you've done since the Smiths, you feel are influenced by a bigger picture than just what you want to do. It's really about being from Manchester and living in Manchester and being exposed to being able to do those things over the years since the end of the Smiths?
Well, that's a nice idea, but sadly not really, only in the case of electronic. I just happened to be in Manchester because in 87 that was the most creative place that was, and there was the stirrings of something really great happening there. Had it been in San Francisco or Melbourne or any English-speaking place, I would have gone there. I don't have any particularly dramatic sense of roots, or I feel like a pretty rootless person, really, and I'm happy to be that way. I don't really want to know where I'm going to end up. I just happened to have gone back to Manchester, as I say, because it was the most happening place, you know. But the journey I've been on, I do think it does feel like a journey. It's just always been about the music first.
Well, I mean, I guess people probably also do forget that apart from things like electronic and the, you've also worked with quite an array of different sorts of artists in those years as well, from the Pretenders to Bryan Ferry and people like that. I mean, you really haven't limited yourself too much, have you? Has it been like sort of opening yourself up to anything and everything you can do, Johnny?
I was brought up with the idea that to be a musician was a real privilege, and to be paid for being a musician was doubly so. So therefore, you know, when you get invited to play with other musicians that you respect, and I've always been invited, I've never set out to work with anybody, then, you know, it's an amazing, magical thing. I don't see it as a careery thing, and there are a few things that I've done that people won't know about. It does sound very sort of star-studded, and I know I've got an interesting CV, as it were, but the whole collaboration thing has gone back as far as the Smiths' first album, which I started off when we were doing our first album. I did this thing with Bernard Sumner producing with this band called Quando Quango in Manchester. That was Mike Pickering, who then went on to form M People. Then the second album the Smiths were doing, I did some stuff with Everything But the Girl and Billy Bragg. And then when we did the third album, I wrote a lot and recorded with Kirsty MacColl. And then the last album, it was the Talking Heads. So I've always, no matter what band I've been in, I've always been invited to go and play with some interesting musicians. And I'm a musician, and that's what you do. You go and play with your friends, you know.
Yeah. I mean, how's your relationship with the legacy of the Smiths changed then over the years, Johnny? I mean, has it been more of a blessing or an annoyance, or in equal parts?
I couldn't possibly be annoyed when when I'm able to remember what it was like to be a 16-year-old guitar player trying to get heard. I think it would be churlish of me, to say the least, to complain about any legacy, to be honest with you, as long as it isn't Flock of Seagulls or something. I don't think it'd be churlish of those guys to complain about their legacy. There's an unfortunate side of it, which is that kind of whole soap opera kind of drama queen scene that, you know, the band got into through the press, and or the press created, I don't know what. I just try and do my best to sort of stay out of it and keep positive about it. And that whole side of it, the negative stuff, to me is the story of the story of the image of the Smiths. And that's a whole thing I can't really get involved in. But,
well, that's when it gets sort of later in the history as well, doesn't it? I mean, things sort of do get out of your hands and out of control. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I say, that's nothing to do with the 5 years that the band were together, and that's all I'm interested in, really.
I mean, Morrissey said a few months ago that he still doesn't think the band has achieved the recognition it deserves. He pointed out that the Smiths don't get VH1 specials in America and that kind of thing. Do you think there is still some way to go in terms of dues paid?
Well, maybe we don't get VH1 specials because I keep turning them down.
Oh, really?
All I know is that 20 years later, I'm on the other side of the world from where I started off, me and Morrissey, in a little attic room that I had, talking to people about the band that started off writing songs about the Moors murderers and signed to a dysfunctional little label, and were a dysfunctional little band. So I'll take that. That's okay by me.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think as well the Smiths were always a band for obsessives or outsiders anyway? It might be nice to hold on to a bit of that.
We were obsessives and outsiders. So I think that naturally some of that feeling informs the music and certainly informed the aesthetic. The thing about that music was it was completely overloaded with passion. And if you think that you're a stereotypical Smiths fan, who I really don't think actually existed anywhere after 1984, to be honest with you, was obsessive, then if you times that by 1,000, then you've got mine and Morrissey's obsession. We were the biggest fans of the band, and we both felt like we were walking on 3 feet off the ground the whole time that band was in existence, and you can hear it in the music.
To that end, then, would you like to do more with the Smiths' catalogue? I mean, you had that grief with Warner a year or 18 months ago where they released the very best of without your sort of okay. I mean, would you like to be doing remastering and box sets and that kind of thing, Johnny?
I would if they had the courtesy of getting me involved properly. I've got a lot of, unreleased, not songs, but weird, because all the songs we did were good enough to go out. We never really came up with too many duds, although, not everything was brilliant. But our average was okay, everything went out, but I've got weird versions of different songs, and I've got, some video footage, and I found the whole thing would be really annoying that they just did a real bodge job of mastering it, and they got the credits wrong, and they got John Porter's name wrong, and they chopped off the front of my favourite song, and they couldn't have really got it any more wrong, really. And they didn't even reply to our inquiries about it. I don't know. I think that's fairly disgraceful for any band, any band who means anything any band just getting that kind of treatment.
You might have to agree to meet them halfway and maybe do a VH1 special or two to get some good releases done, Johnny.
Yeah, well, I don't worry about that too much. I'm really more into... I think most people who know what I'm about and are interested in me know that I'm not really that interested in the past anyway. I don't mind talking about it now and again, but I'm not really interested in living in it, in that kind of person.
We might have a listen to a song off the Healers record then, off Boomslang. We'll hear one of the quieter ones, which you get to... wax your vocal cords on, called Something to Shout About. People can see you still doing this couple of shows with Pearl Jam, so that should be fun.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. We're very grateful to be along, and by, 3 or 4 numbers, then everyone's fled and called the cops.
We'll have a listen to Something to Shout About now. Thanks for the talk, Johnny, and have some more fun in Australia.
Yes, nice to be here. God bless.
Who cares forever after? Who cares? That's all that we know.